Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Kellogg, and I'll be joined today by Braden Kane. We'll take a look at the NBA playoff scene along with the spring football game for the University of Idaho this Friday before giving out our Mike Leach Awards due to some technical difficulties. Another audio-only episode this week. We'll hope to get those visual episodes back up and running here soon. Thank you all for being patient and listening. And as always, go Vandals. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Kellogg, joined today, as always, by Braden Kane, and we're just going to get started right into this thing. But first, Braden, I'm just kind of mad because we tried to do that visual podcast yesterday. We tried to do another visual episode, but things just not working out.
Too many difficulties.
So now we're just going to scramble together, put out a real quick, easy, kind of a shorter version, audio only. Start off, let's talk about Idaho football. They have their silver and gold spring game coming up on Friday at 6 p.m. I mean, should be a good showcase of where we currently are, especially for like wide receivers, since we've been a little shorthanded with them, and running backs, and then kind of see how our defense is doing now that Lloyd Hightower is kind of leading that charge.
I think it's mostly just going to be an offensive showcase for the most part. Like you said, the D-line's kind of beaten up, and
yeah,
I just don't feel like we're that experienced and healthy on defense yet. So it's really just going to be how well can we run our offense, how fluid can it be. And like you said, the O-line's probably going to look really good considering our D-line is so busted up and hurt right now. Yeah. So it'll be fun, though. I'm excited to see how Kurtrell Haywood and Jeff Cotton play. Obviously, the quarterback play is going to be a huge thing to look for. So
for sure.
A lot of indicators of who could be some game changers for us next year in tomorrow's spring game.
Yeah, it'll really be interesting. I'm just curious to see, I'm curious to see about how the running backs will do, because yesterday in the show that will be lost to the sands of time, we talked a lot about Khalil Forehand in his transition to running back, and we talked about the loss of Isaiah Saunders. Now that Aaron Duckworth is a couple years removed, that this is kind of a new era that we haven't had in a while of having no idea kind of where the running game is going to go.
Yeah, if Dylan Thigpen will be coming back.
Yeah, Dylan Thigpen, he's been battling injuries. He's been he's always been trying to get those steps back. I think he's making good progress now, but
according to one of our friends, colleague in class, Mason Petrino, he's the quarterback.
He's a classmate of ours, yeah.
He's been saying that Dylan Thigpen was going to be the best player on the team last year. So, I mean,
who knows? He's had this.
If he's that good of an athlete.
There's that high of expectations just from Mason, I'm guessing the coaches probably have the same expectation.
And Mason knows what he's talking about.
Mason's a smart player. He's a smart guy. Smart guy on the field. And I would say if I was Coach Petrino, I would say I'm going to sit Thigpen out. I'm going to have him just not play in the spring because we can't risk having an injury. Because at this point, with the people that we have, if we get an injury kind of anywhere on this team, we're kind of screwed.
Yeah. Andre Carter's being a lot of reps in practice at running back. He's kind of a Isaiah Saunders type.
Bowling ball back.
5'9", 239. He's a redshirt freshman out of Stark, Florida. Once again, Petrino showing his roots of recruiting in the South, which is huge for a team way up here like us.
It is great that he recruits down there, yeah.
Yeah. But, I'm just excited to see who all can perform and hopefully everyone can stay injury-free tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the wide receivers. I wonder if they're just going to run two to three wide receiver sets the entire time.
Because
you don't want Cottrell or Jeff Cotton or short speed guy, number 14.
Brandon Luckett.
His name always escapes me. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to risk any of them getting too tired, cramping up, pulling something. Mm-hmm. This would be the worst time for them to do that in their first kind of game time non-scrimmage.
So on the roster, the receivers we have listed are Michael Noyle. He's a 5'8 receiver. Obviously, Kurtrell Haywood, Jeff Cotton, DJ Lee, who's hurt.
I was going to say DJ Lee. He's been hurt.
Jonte Boston is back and playing. I saw him practicing the other day in full pads, going 100%.
All right, so we got him back. Okay.
Yep. If I keep going, I just saw a couple. I don't know. I kind of hope his name's Jaeger, but I think it's Jagger. Jagger Jacoby, redshirt freshman from Spokane. He's smaller than me. According to this, he's 5'7", 155.
I haven't.
And then there's Jed Byers, who's a redshirt freshman from Pullman. Basically the only guys that we have that are going to show some.
Cottrell, Jeff, and Luckett. And then, those three are going to be the main guys.
Like kind of what we were saying yesterday. If they have to start splitting Connor Whitney out, it's what they have to do. Our tight end. He's
more of a blocking guy. Like we talked about this. Like,
He had a good. Let me go to his stats too. He had some catches last year, man. I know he had a couple touchdown catches. He's only 6'3", 210, so he's like a. That's like a
good size.
Like a power five receiver size.
The feeling I get from him is that like the reason he's able to get those catches because if you have him on the line, you line him up, then he can. On like those play action passes, or he can leak out and get in open space because people are assuming that he's going to be having a blocking assignment.
Had 13 catches last year, 135 yards, grabbed a touchdown.
So it's like he's not like constantly getting ball. It's like he'll catch maybe a pass a game because he'll sneak out and get a catch.
We also ran the ball a lot
exactly.
more last year.
That's
so,
very true.
I mean, maybe if he garnered some more athleticism over the offseason. I think we might, if we need to, split him out. Or
he needs to be ready for that.
Like we said. Just put Mason at receiver and have your 6'5", 270-pound quarterback play quarterback like he should be.
Yeah.
But obviously that's not a guarantee, so.
It's going to be interesting to see how this whole wide receiver situation is really going to play out. But, I mean, other than that, nothing really going on in the terms of Vandal sports. Michaela Friends was named Player of the Year for women's basketball, which is a big accomplishment for her. Outside of that, spring soccer's still going along. Golf is still doing its thing. Same with tennis. So I guess now we'll transition to the pros. NBA playoffs are now here. We're two games in every series so far. So we'll just kind of do a quick rundown since this is a shorter episode. First, we'll go through the West before we take a break. But, I mean, Warriors-Clippers, 1-1. Game tonight in L.A. I mean,
it's gonna be a big game.
It's gonna be a great game.
I'm excited for it. I mean,
that LA crowd is gonna be
coming
excited.
Off of that comeback win. I think they'll definitely have a lot of swagger coming into the game. I mean, I think the Clippers kind of always have some swagger coming into the game.
They're that hard nosed team, you know. Mm-hmm. They come in with attitude and they beat you with effort.
Yep. And I had my little brother. He actually tweeted. You know, he said, "KD's the best scorer in the NBA. Like, prove me wrong." And I commented. I was like. I mean, the way Lou Will's playing, I was like, Mans can get any shot he wants.
Yeah.
Any shot he wants. That nice little, you know, kind of 1 foot fadeaway jumper he'll do.
Oh, he's so good at that. Like, yeah, just goes in. Like, it's almost like he's just driving down the lane. Just one hop back, and he's got space.
I think there's a lot of people you have to consider when you're just saying scorer. We're not talking about the overall, like, best offensive player, because then, yeah, it probably could be someone like KD, because he also passes the ball to open people and
But then you start saying, like, LeBron, Giannis, James Harden.
If we're talking just a scorer.
It goes, like Lou Will's up there, Kyrie's up there, Damian Lillard.
Especially after last night's game.
Steph Curry's up there.
Did Kyrie have 40 last night? I know he had... At least 36.
He had a great game. He was clutch down there. He's one of the best clutch scorers in the league. Like, and he just proved that again last night.
And he had some dudes in his face. Wesley Matthews was playing good defense for the Pacers.
Yeah, Wesley Matthews, he's a pretty solid defender. But yeah, Kyrie, I think there's maybe like, I don't think there's anyone that can really guard Kyrie. He might have the best handles that we've ever seen in the NBA.
He does.
It's like him, and then I see like right below him. Just like off of my memory, off the top of my head, I like Jamal Crawford's there.
Yeah.
Those are like the top two guys.
And the Celtics had a really rough third quarter. They outscored 29-16 in the third and then came back and outscored Indiana 31-12 in the final.
There you go.
Kyrie had 37.
Yeah.
And he only shot two free throws.
So that's like the opposite of how KD did in that second game against the Clippers where he had like 28 points, but he made like 14 of those off of free throws.
Yeah, and he was 15 for 26. Very efficient.
Wow.
With that.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a great night from Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Now I'm starting to get, like I said yesterday in the episode that will never air, I said that Kyrie, I wasn't interested in this series, in the Celtics-Pacers series. Now I'm kind of interested in it just to see how Kyrie's going to keep this rolling because...
First time playing in the playoffs with the Celtics.
Because Kyrie is showing... why I'm Kyrie Irving. Yeah. These young guys are like, oh, we went 7 last year. We beat the Bucks in 7. Then we took LeBron to 7. But it's like, he's like, I'm Kyrie Irving. He's like, I'm one of the best closers this league has ever seen. And I'm showing you all why.
Exactly.
Okay, so now let's go to the next game. In the Western Conference, we'll go to Utah versus Houston.
Utah might get swept.
Oh, without a doubt. I think they'll get swept. Same here.
The Rockets are just...
They're just so much
better. Too overpowering for them right now. I almost feel like the Jazz might have been better last year.
Like, Patrick Beverley's advice to Jay Crowder, it's not working.
What did he tell him?
So it was like after the Jazz played the Clippers, like you saw Patrick Beverley over talking to Crowder, and he was like giving him like defensive advice. Like, he didn't have audio, but like you saw him like talking about defense. It's like a 99% chance that they were talking about James Harden, since that was the last game of the year and the Jazz were going to set to play Houston. So Pat Bev's advice is not working. Harden is getting whatever he wants. He got triple-double last night.
He did, yeah. 13 and 10 for rebounds.
He almost had it in the first half. Like, he had
25, 7 and 7, I think.
Yeah. Something like that. He only played 19 minutes in the first half. Mm-hmm. He was balling. And it's like, the Jazz just don't, like, Donovan Mitchell isn't coming through huge. Rudy Gobert, even the center, he's not playing at the same defensive level that.
I think Mitchell's kind of having a sophomore slump type of year.
He's been doing okay, but not as good as his rookie of the year campaign last year, without a doubt.
When I saw the, I think it was Bleacher Report posted the coldest shooters from every spot on the floor and then hottest shooters from every spot on the floor, and Donovan Mitchell only finishes at the rim 50% of the time.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad, honestly.
You got to finish 65-70%.
For being an NBA player, yeah. I know Giannis was at 73%. He was the hottest one down in the paint. But
yeah.
Half the time you're going to finish your layup. It's like
you gotta
that hurts,
that.
Man. When you get paint touches, you either got to dish it off and make a play or you got to finish.
I feel like Donovan Mitchell, he's going to be a better DeMar DeRozan. That's the player I can kind of see him being.
Potentially.
I think he's DeMar DeRozan with an outside shot. So I think he'll be a star in the league, but he's not going to be a superstar.
I don't know. He went 1-for-8 from 3 last night.
Exactly.
And he was 5-for-19.
Yeah. I'm saying it's not there yet. Like, his shot's, kind of there. But, I mean, down the stretch, I feel like he'll be, a 35-40% three-point shooter by year 4-6. In that point, he'll still have his athleticism. He can still get to the rim, which I think he'll improve on. I think he'll be a star in this league, a top 20 player maybe, but he won't be a superstar.
Royce O'Neal was tied for the leading scorer for the Jazz last night. Yeah, rookie out of Baylor.
Jazz are going to get swept. Let's just leave it at that. Jazz are going to get swept.
I don't think them going to Utah is going to be that big of a factor either.
No. That.
Once Harden starts doing his thing, that shuts up a crowd fast.
Once they go up 15 in the first quarter or the first half, that crowd will get pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we'll kind of go to the next game. We have Spurs Nuggets. I mean,
this is gonna be an interesting. This one could
go
seven.
This is another one of those series. It's a lot like the Sixers Nets in the East.
Yep.
This can seriously just go either way.
I think it's going to go seven games.
Because Denver has the talent. They have more talent than the Spurs, but the Spurs have one of the greatest head coaches in NBA history.
And the Nuggets just don't have the experience. None of them have, winning playoff experience, at least.
Yeah, I don't think any of them have playoff experience.
Your only voted all-star is Jokic, who...
He's doing okay.
He's doing well, but, I mean, there's a reason he got voted into the all-star game. It's not that many centers can average 7-plus assists a game. So, but... I mean, I feel like he's kind of, in a way, easy to kind of shut down or, contain at least.
You just got to make him uncomfortable. You got to play good defense around him to make sure he can't get those passes off.
I say you want to make him pass more.
Oh, really? Okay.
In the sense of, make him pass within the offense. I noticed they love to just do a lot of dribble handoff screens, and that's kind of what the Nuggets just honestly do offensively. It's pass to the high post to Jokic. Cut off of him, he'll either give it to you or he'll fake it, wait for another guard to come off the wing and come around.
Yeah.
It's literally just all handoffs and screens for them. But if you can make him have to do that with his back to the basket the entire time, I think you'll do pretty well. And you got to let him shoot a couple threes and see how he's shooting for the night. If he's hitting a couple, then obviously you have to come out on him. But I feel like Aldridge has been guarding him pretty well. So
yeah, Aldridge's having a great series so far. And then I like this Nuggets team, but it's the Spurs. The Spurs even took a game against the Warriors last year. They lost in five in the first round, but it's the Spurs still took a game at home when it was just Ginobili on that team.
Yeah, it comes down to the two best players on the Spurs have a lot of playoff experience, and the best players on the Nuggets have hardly any.
Yeah, like, and Jamal Murray, he's been coming, he came through clutch, started off 0-for-8 in that, or he was 0-for-8 going into the fourth, and he finished with, what, like 20, 24 points, something like that.
Yep.
And, I mean, you have Will Barton, a good outside shooter. I think, like, Derek White, I think he's going to be a huge X factor for this, for the Spurs team.
Definitely.
And, I mean, yeah, DeRozan, he's going to give you a 20-piece almost every night. Aldridge is going to give you a double-double, like 15 points, 10 rebounds. Derek White and these other guys...
Brent Forbes,
Patty Mills. These guys are going to have to, like, knock down a couple threes, get some shots aside, like, maybe not 10 points, but, like, 8 points apiece. Mm-hmm. And I think the Spurs won the series. But if the Nuggets keep doing what they did all season long, they'll win this 1-7. But it's literally 50-50.
Yeah, that's definitely – it's a toss-up in my mind, too. Tough series to pick.
And now, last game in the Western Conference, Trailblazers versus Thunder. I'm predicting another sweep or at most 5 games.
Yeah, the Thunder, I think, might be able to pick one up at home. Just
Blazers
considering
are just so
the
good.
Home crowd,
like,
they,
Blazers,
yeah, they're looking good.
Like, even without Nurkic, it's like they are just.
And he's out for like all.
Oh,
the playoffs.
He like snapped his leg. Didn't you see that video?
No, I didn't.
He went up for a rebound. He came down. He like snapped his. It was either his tibia or fibula. Like, it was like, it's not as bad as a Paul George injury, but it's pretty dang close.
Dang, that's tough.
People were comparing it to Kevin Ware, but it wasn't that bad. But it was, it snapped and you could see it.
You could see it sticking out.
We couldn't see it sticking out, but you like saw it bumping off
the
his
puncture
leg.
Or whatever it's called. The
like you saw like the where it was bumping out a little bit. Like didn't puncture the skin, but like it was bad. And so he's out. Enes Kanter's got the starting role, but Enes Kanter's been balling. And same with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Alperen Sengun, Harkless on the wing.
Yep. Seth Curry is doing what he needs to do, hitting some outside shots when it means the most.
It's gonna be interesting to see how this team does in the next round. If this bench can step up a little, because, you know, Damian Lillard, he's going to be tired.
Yeah.
Because he's given everything, because that Lillard-Westbrook rivalry, like, I think that's one rivalry that's not looked at enough in the NBA. They hate each other.
Yeah.
They really just don't like each other.
Yep.
And Lillard is busting him up over this past, since that January game where Westbrook said, hey, I've been owning you for years.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, Damian Lillard's averaging like 36 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, shooting 40% from beyond the three-point arc, shooting like 80% from the free throw line, shooting 60% from the field against OKC.
Yep.
Damian Lillard, he's locked in. All right, and so now we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at the Eastern Conference of the NBA playoffs and also taking a quick look at our Mike Leach Awards. All right, everyone, hello and welcome back. Zach Kellogg here with Braden Kane, and next up, Eastern Conference of the NBA playoffs, 2 games down in each of the 4 series. First up, going at the top, Milwaukee versus Detroit. Milwaukee up 2-0. I mean, Detroit gave them a fight last night. They led at halftime.
They lost by
15.
I think I said this yesterday. I was like, Detroit might be able to hang with them for a half and make it interesting, and then they just pull away, and that's exactly what they did. So
who knows?
I'm right once again.
Maybe with that home court advantage and in the Motor City. Who knows? Maybe Detroit can lose by single digits this time, but who knows? I mean, yeah, nothing too much to say there. It's going to be a sweep.
Yeah.
Easy. Next up, we have Toronto Raptors versus the Orlando Magic, tied at 1 apiece, with the next game being tonight in Orlando. I think the Magic could steal one.
If they can win this one, it'll make this series really interesting to make it 2-1.
I'm going to have a field day tomorrow with one of our coworkers. Yeah. I'm going to have a field day if the Raptors lose to the Magic and go down 2-1.
I wish he wouldn't have made bets with them, because he probably would have been like, oh, it'll be five at the
no, he,
five at the least.
If we would have said at the start, he'd be like, oh, it's a sweep. Sweep the Magic. It would be a sweep without a doubt. It's like, yeah, we should have put some money down on that. But I think it'll go to 6.
Yeah.
I think Magic will steal one, whether it's a game 4 or game 5. I think they'll steal one.
I think they definitely could, too. As long as you need Fournier and Augustine to play well.
Have big nights, yeah.
You need Aaron Gordon to guard Kawhi very well. So.
And Vucevic needs to have a double-double. You need to have Jonathan Isaac. He needs to have a good night in terms of rebounds and blocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. But if Kyle Lowry has another bad game like he did in game 1, it's very possible that the Magic can steal another game, or maybe even 2, and force a 7.
If they force 7, man, that'd be so awesome.
It'd be amazing. Next up, we got the Celtics versus the Indiana Pacers. the Celtics coming away with a win, tight win last night, going up 2-0 on the series as it heads now back to Indianapolis. Celtics just look like the better team. I mean, without Victor Oladipo, this is the first time we're really seeing the Pacers, from what I saw in the regular season. It's like they have talent. They're good. They just don't have that close. They don't have that star.
They're shutting down Sabonis, and they're making the Pacers have to rely on Bogdanovich, which, I mean, he can shoot the ball well, but watching him drive to the lane a couple times last night, he just can't finish down there, man.
He's getting kind of like he's
getting better at it.
Yeah, he's getting better. But I mean,
he tries to kind of do that Lou Will hang in the air like mini jumper when he gets to the rim, kind of fading away. But he's also not Lou Will, so
he's not very athletic. And I mean, Wesley Matthews is good on that team. Tyreke Evans is pretty good.
Tyreke Evans is playing super well.
Yeah, I mean, like,
he hit like 3 or 4 threes last night.
Yeah, like, he's been playing good. But I just don't think it's going to be enough.
He looks like a Tom Hanks castaway right now.
Yeah.
With his beard.
Did you tweet that last night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I mean, I think the Pacers can steal one at home, but I think it'll be over in 5. If 5, if not a sweep.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, yeah, I don't see this going back to Indianapolis after this next after this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last series in the East, last series in the East, yeah, we have Nets Sixers. That is another 50-50. That's 3 versus 6. I mean,
I could see it going 7. Or
I want to see it go 7.
Or probably Sixers in 6. I want to say Brooklyn could do it in 6, but
I would say Brooklyn in 6, Philly in 7. If it goes 7, Philly's going to win. If Brooklyn wins 2 games at home, loses one back on the road in Philly, and wins another one at home, they are set up. But if Philly is able to win a game at Brooklyn, they'll win the series.
Yeah.
Because they'll 4-7, and they'll win a game at home. Because even though Embiid isn't very healthy, Simmons doesn't have a jump shot, and Butler's literally carrying the team on his back, they'll find a way to pull it through in a game 7 in front of that Philly crowd.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably lose in the next series. So they'll probably lose to the Raptors or the Magic. Imagine if the Magic make like the Eastern Conference Finals somehow. Like they upset the Raptors, and then they beat like a tired Sixers team. And then like Giannis like averages like 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, Giannis just
and like Mike Budenholzer decides to quit, and Chris Middleton decides to retire, and Brooke Lopez decides to become a team trainer. If all that happens, the Magic can make a run to the finals. They got a road.
Need a lot
of
things to happen.
A lot of things. A lot of things that will never happen in a million billion years. But you know, it's whatever. And so we were going to talk NFL, but we'll actually save that for next week when we do an episode purely on the combine and free agency, since the draft will be next Thursday, which I am super excited for in the first round.
Yeah.
It is going to be very interesting to see who goes where. But now we'll finish things up with our Mike Leach Awards, and I'll go first for this one real quick. So Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, recently signed a 4-year, $140 million extension. But he gave the Seahawks a deadline for April 15th, and if they didn't meet that deadline, he said after this year of his contract, he would walk and go to another team. And so Seahawks fans, we were all like freaking out on Twitter and Facebook because that deadline passed. Like it was like 1 in the morning on April 16th. And there's one guy kind of on like a Seahawks fan page. He posted a tweet, and he had 2 different letters. He had 2 folders. One of them was like excited, happy memes for Russell Wilson if he signed the deal. Another one was a letter of resignation from his job if Russell Wilson decided to leave Seattle, which I think a lot of Seahawks fans would have done, because then our team would have been over, because he is our team essentially.
Yeah, he definitely is.
And so, yeah, we're all happy that he's going to be around for at least another 5 years. So that's my Mike Leach Awards, just how much we were all panicking on social media.
So I have a couple. There's headlines.
Yeah.
The first one is, Chad Ochocinco used to send Ike Taylor rolls of toilet paper in the mail to let him know that he was going to poop on him during the game. It's a big power move to send cornerbacks. Ike Taylor was with the Steelers, right?
Yeah.
There's that rivalry game, the Bengals-Steelers rivalry game.
Ochocinco, he's a bold guy, you know?
He is a bold guy. And then also, obviously, Gronk denting the Lombardi trophy because he hit a baseball with it at the
Gronk's just another animal, you know.
It was the Red Sox.
It was at the Red Sox game. It was right before the opening pitch. They were like waiting in the back, and he decided to hit a baseball with the Lombardi Trophy because
Gronk just doing Gronk things now. Now that
he's a 19-year-old guy that's in a full man's body.
He can officially be a child all the time now. I mean, he doesn't really have to have too much of a professional side anymore if he doesn't want to.
Just go to I think the WWE is calling his name. He just needs to make the choice. He just needs to sign the deal.
I don't know about the WWE. I just watched the John Oliver on the WWE last night. And Vince McMahon's kind of a big old POS.
Yeah, but with that, I don't like McMahon. But yeah. I'm just waiting for the XFL. I want to see how that does. It's going to be awful.
It is coming back?
Yeah, the next season, 2020. Summer 2020, the XFL will be returning.
Goodness.
Oh, hopefully it won't be what it was last time.
Last one I have is Josh Rosen was noticeably absent from the Cardinals schedule release hype video. Oh my gosh. Man. And then I guess there's an update and they just tweeted another video with Rosen highlights in it.
Oh.
Probably because he was sad and crying.
Rosen, you know you're getting traded. You're going to get traded or you're going to get benched.
It's one of the two.
Kyler Murray is going to be the starting quarterback because for some reason, even though Cliff Kingsbury shouldn't have gotten a job in the NFL, he did, and he loves Kyler Murray. So
it's just funny how last year he was so cocky coming into the draft. Like,
yeah.
I know I'm the best quarterback in this draft, and if any teams don't draft me, that's their loss or whatever. It's just
Now he's going to get replaced after. Like, you can't blame last year too much on him because of how bad that Cardinals team was and injury-riddled they are. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, you weren't going to be – Sam Darnold was the top quarterback in that. Baker Mayfield was better than you.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, I would say, is like – I would say you're even with Lamar Jackson. He was better than Josh Allen.
You think he was better than Josh Allen?
I don't like Josh Allen that much. He's got a great arm, but he's not – Josh Allen doesn't have accuracy or anything like that.
We'll see if he can improve.
But, I mean, Rosen was the third or fourth best quarterback in that draft. So you went right where you were supposed to go, man. It's like you got to quit complaining.
Exactly.
And it's like if you want to keep that job, if Kyler Murray gets drafted, prove it.
Yep.
You're going against a Heisman Trophy winner. If you think you're better and you deserve this starting job, either A, request a trade and quit complaining, or B, beat him out.
Plain and simple.
All right. Well, that will conclude this bit of a shorter episode here on the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. You can catch all of our works, Zach Kellogg and Brandon Kane, at thevandalnation.com and at UI Argonaut. You can also check us out on Inside the Vandals, which is on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Thank you all for listening, and as always, go Vandals!